You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and it is Wednesday. You know that means it's time to talk some history with our partners at the Michigan History Center and the stunning success of the U.S. women's national team at the World Cup, winning their fourth cup. That got us thinking of women making sports history 70 years ago. We're thinking of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League.
We're the members of the All-American League. We come from cities near and far. We got Canadians, woo! Irish ones and Swedes. We're all for one, we're one for all, we're all American.
That, of course, is from the 1992 Penny Marshall film, A League of Their Own, the film inspired by the early days of All-American women's baseball. Rachel Clark, Michigan History Center, how and why did this league get launched in 1943?
In 1943, or by 1943, the world was in the thick of World War II, and most men in the United States were either in war or doing war work. And baseball owners created this new professional league with women to sort of keep baseball going and keep it in the public eye, but also to keep people's morale up.
And I know that A League of Their Own is fictionalized, but so much of that is included in the film. So anyone who saw that, and of course, we all know there's no crying in baseball. So how many teams were there? And do we know how many women played between 1943 and 1954?
Over the course of the league's existence, there were 15 cities that had teams. And like baseball today, you get teams that shift from one city to the next or get sold or whatever. So at any given season, you had up to 9 teams. But it started out with just a few teams. They tried out about 280 women and took 60 for that initial set of teams.
And I understand the teams were mainly in the Midwest. What did we have in Michigan?
Michigan had a few teams. The Grand Rapids Chicks. And I'm not a fan of these names. But
well, again, let's remind everybody, we're talking about the 1940s.
Yes.
All right.
So the first team that Michigan had were the Grand Rapids Chicks, and they actually lasted from 1945 to 54. So they were the longest running team in Michigan. We then had the Muskegon Lassies, who then turned into the Kalamazoo Lassies. And then we have the Battle Creek Bells, who eventually turn into the Muskegon Bells. So you do have this shift of teams, but Michigan was well represented.
What were the schedules like?
The schedules were not as sort of crazy as the men's schedules, but in 1943, they played 108 games, which is considerably fewer than men. But if you think about it, they only had half a dozen teams to start with. They were playing all the time, all over the Midwest. It was a really busy schedule. They were all over.
And I'm curious whether was the game different for these women of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League than it would be for the men?
This is where I start to laugh when you look at how the rules change and the game changes. Initially, it was a hybrid sort of between baseball and softball. The ball was more like a softball to start with. The pitcher's mound was only 40 feet away from home plate, which is freakishly close. If you're a pitcher, that's going to make you really nervous. And so eventually, though, they realized that these women can play and they're very good. And so the game starts to shift in the mid-1940s. The ball gets smaller. The length between bases gets longer. The pitching distance gets longer. And they turn into overhand pitching. So by the final season, you get what looks more like a women's baseball game as opposed to a softball game.
Fair enough. And I'm very interested in how were they received by the public? I mean, if we saw A League of Their Own, we kind of see at the beginning the stands are empty. But of course, by the big championship game at the end, it's jammed. But so how did the public receive these girls out there playing baseball?
They received them actually very well. That's one of the ways the movie is a little off. In its initial season, the league recorded 176,612 fans at their games. So it was always, obviously, you're going to have people who were skeptical, but it was very well received. And the games typically were packed. Hmm. And they continued to be that way just about up until the end of the league.
What about pay? We're certainly hearing about that with our U.S. women's national team with the World Cup win and the pay issue. How did the women's pay compare to the men's?
Compared to the men's, if you look at the men's pay in the 1940s for baseball, it was sort of all over the place. You get somebody like Joe DiMaggio, who's paid, I think, $37,000 for his 1941 season. That's a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
But they were actually, if you're looking at average household income, the women were paid quite well. Hmm. They were paid in 1943 anywhere from $45 to $85 a week, which converts to anywhere from $600 to $1,200 a week.
Yeah.
And then it continues, the pay increases, but with inflation, the value of that pay doesn't really increase. But a lot of these girls are actually paid, and women were paid better than their parents. So they're living wage. It is a living wage, and they are paid actually quite well.
So the war ends in 1945, but the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League goes until 1954.
Oh, yeah. It continues. Each year, the teams, they increase the number. This is where your Michigan teams come in the late 40s, post-World War II. And then they're traveling more. They go to Cuba for a tour. The rules are changing to make the game more exciting. The popularity does continue into the 50s. It starts to decline a little bit. The league itself becomes decentralized. The marketing changes. Cities don't want to pay for their share of it. In the beginning, Philip Wrigley, who's the Cubs owner, agrees to pay half of the cost of the team. And then whatever municipality has the team, they pay the other half. That changes. Then you also get TV. And you get TV is broadcasting games in people's homes. So things start to change in the 50s, and that just sort of leads to the decline of the league.
You have to wonder, why, as we see the U.S. women's soccer team getting so much attention. I mean, these women are rock stars in the sports world. But the U.S. women's baseball team is basically invisible on the world stage. Why is that, do you think?
Women's baseball is sort of this unique, almost weird thing in the United States. It's vastly popular in East Asia. Japan and China, women's baseball teams over there do quite well. In the United States, with Title IX in 1972, softball is sort of looked at as an equivalent to baseball, and it's not. They're totally different games. But girls' sports teams, if you want to play baseball, girls can in Little League. There was a 1973 lawsuit actually in Michigan that opened the path for girls to play Little League baseball. But after that, if you want to play in high school, girls have to play softball because it is seen as equivalent to baseball. Girls can play soccer. Girls can play, basketball. There are other sports in high school that are the same, men versus women. Softball is sort of this unique thing. There isn't a pathway to women's baseball for young girls. They have to go through softball, and they're different games. You cannot really look at those two things and say they are the same thing. So it never, women's baseball doesn't catch on in this country, sort of because of that weird softball-baseball comparison.
Interesting. Yes. Just thinking of the way women's soccer and the fact that they are the stars.
Yes. proud of them. I am so proud of them.
Well, I know you watched with special interest because you played in school, right?
I did.
You made it to the state finals?
We did. My high school team made it to the state finals, and I am old enough that my high school team was actually one of the early high school girls teams to make it to the state finals.
All right, shout out for your high school.
Okemos High School, class of 1991.
Yeah, okay, and what happened when you got to the finals?
We got absolutely hammered by Troy Athens, but it was a great run. We had a lot of fun. Our goal every year that I played high school soccer was to just get past East Lansing. That was the big one. And my senior year, for a reason, we had the right combination of players, and we made it to the state finals, and then got killed. That's okay.
Wonderful walk through history in women's sports with Rachel Clark, Michigan History Center, Okemos, class of 91, who made it to the state soccer finals. Thanks so much, Rachel.
Thank you very much.